Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue number 11.
Oh, 11.
Yeah. We're getting a little older. Puberty soon?
We're still silly for the candy store, I think.
Although yeah. I just had a crack in my voice, so maybe...
You're puberty now?
God, that was way too realistic. How old are you again?
Yeah, so this is a big issue also because this charming, sultry, sexy voice is moving to Denver. So dun, potentially, dun. It doesn't mean Capes and Scowls West is going away, obviously. We've got some great crew and I will be on as much as possible, but I am making the move to Denver. So, but this gives me a good reason to come up to Fort Collins. And hang out with peoples.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, so, like, when you come up to visit, it'll be more like a visit, and you'll actually, like, appreciate the time that you have with us instead of just, you know, blankly staring at us like the
taking you for granted.
Death. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I'll no longer be able to take you guys for granted, so I'll actually appreciate being here.
I really just want to be appreciated.
So it's better for me to leave, so I can appreciate you better.
Well, and it's good that we record so early, so you can come as an early time, you know, record. And then you have the whole day to do stuff before it's on.
That's a good point.
So. Oh, you know, you can sleep over at one of our houses.
That's true. There's a lot of houses to sleep over at.
Snuggle up against us. And
snuggle up against us.
I'll read you a bedtime comic.
I do like that.
Watch cooking shows. We can learn how to cook gluten-free food.
Watch cooking shows.
Yes, because you're gluten-free now.
I am gluten-free now.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
You should have seen, by the way, the judgment in Ron Patrick's eyes. He even scanned you up and down like, what? You're gluten-free now.
I've just decided it's a lifestyle change.
I just think onset celiac disease.
I was diagnosed IBS, when I was like 24 or 25.
Oh, really?
Turns out that was a misdiagnosis. I'm actually gluten-sensitive.
Okay.
So I have the antibodies that are present for celiac disease, but unless I go and get genetic testing, it's not necessarily going to be confirmed that I have celiac.
Okay.
But in my blood, it's present. So, going gluten free.
Like working in a restaurant and like I was reading this article a while ago that was talking basically about how the trend of gluten free is making it more dangerous for people who actually have celiac disease.
Yeah.
Because people working in the restaurants like me, we see something that comes in gluten free and we're like, oh my god, this motherfucking hipster right here. And there's actually people out there who have gluten intolerance and I think it's like 2 milligrams of
gluten
wheat flour
being
present can actually trigger someone's allergies. And so like, you know, people who work in restaurants don't give a fuck anymore because
it's just trendy.
Yeah, it's just trendy.
Yeah. I have to say, it's only been about a week that I've been attempting to stay gluten free.
Okay.
And, you feel like a douche. I mean, like, legitimately. You know, like, you're I'm sorry. For everybody out there who's been dealing with this, I feel really bad for you. And it's easy, really, when you look at stuff, but you do feel like, do you have any gluten-free options?
And... But you can't, and then you have a man bun. It's not helping the case at all.
No, it's
you're gonna come in with some thick rimmed glasses next week.
It's one step further. I need a coat that's lined with fur, and then I'm gonna shave my mustache into a Fu Manchu.
And talk about how much you love artisan kale.
And quinoa. I love artisan kale and quinoa. Yeah. Speaking of which, I made buckwheat breakfast yesterday.
I do actually like quinoa though.
Yeah,
I like
quinoa. Quinoa's
really good. Can I get this quinoa instead of the gluten bread thing that you have?
Just like, it's funny though, you know, here at Griffin and Purple Cup, one of my favorite things is salted pretzels, which is off the menu now. I can't eat that stuff, so.
I wouldn't lose out on that. There's a lot of things that if I were to go gluten free would be fine because I don't miss out on, like, I don't like pretzels, I don't drink beer. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. But then again, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I might eat more things than I think I have.
Well, yeah, like sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. I can't have a sandwich.
I'll eat a sandwich, but...
You're just saying meh to a sandwich?
Yeah.
That seems kind of weird.
No, I don't eat sandwiches. Egg sandwich is probably the best I'm going to get for sandwiches.
Egg sandwich?
Mm-hmm. Why do you act like you don't eat egg sandwiches?
Because, like, bacon, lettuce, and tomato exist.
No.
Oh, I love, I used to do this all the time. Just cut a hole in the piece of toast and fry an egg in the middle.
Oh, eggs in a basket. Eggs.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. I heard so many people. I just called it egg.
There's just something. There's a couple of different names for it. I think that's a common one.
Mm. Using a lot of butter when you do that.
Oh yeah. Mm. Oh yeah. Good thing you're not butter intolerant.
Oh, that would suck. That would suck. If I was lactose intolerant, would kill me. Cheese and then no bread either. No. Like, fuck this.
I'm glad that's not a trend. Come on, y'all need to go. Yeah.
Most lactose people I know too, even them, they're like,
it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to one of my coworkers the other day and he was like, I really want a milkshake, but I'm gonna just like poop my pants to hell later.
Sometimes it's worth it.
So I got everybody milkshakes. The next day I was like, how's your pants?
Nice.
Jesus.
Alright, I guess we should get into geek news.
Alright,
what do we got?
So, I have a couple, you know, since Kat's not here today, I figured I had to step up my anime news game.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a couple anime bits. Firstly, the director of Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo will be making a Blade Runner short film.
Mm.
So,
it's actually out right now.
Is it out already?
It's 15 minutes. I'm refusing to watch it until after I see Blade Runner 2049.
Well, it's supposed to be a prequel to that, mm-hmm. actually. It's, what is it,
2022?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so it's supposed to be, he was saying how, I didn't realize that, I just saw like the preview trailer for it, like a week and a half ago, and that's crazy. So I'm definitely gonna check it out because I'm not a hater, I'm like Nat.
Oh no, I'm not a hater. I love Shinichiro Watanabe. I have heard that knowing,
mm-hmm.
getting any review information for 2049 is a spoiler. Like, the movie's plot is essentially a spoiler. So anything that leads into it, I assume is going to spoil some of the major plot points. And I really want to watch it. It's actually saved on my my YouTube queue to watch on Friday afternoon.
Well, I guess it's 27 years before 2049, and I don't know. Yeah, fair enough. I have no idea what the what the premise is or what anything like that is. So
it'll be interesting. Though.
Yeah, no, the trailer I saw for it just had like a couple art scenes and stuff, and it is beautiful, and it keeps. And he was saying how Blade Runner was, Watanabe was saying how, Blade Runner is basically like one of his inspirations for directing, and he wants to pay as much homage as possible to it.
Hmm.
So, that's awesome. Not supposed to be a spoof or a parody or like anything. It's supposed to be a film in the Blade Runner universe.
Okay.
This in general really excites me because it's similar to, The Animatrix and then Batman Gotham Knight, which were all like tie-ins to major film franchises, and using anime, and it's just really cool to see like the expansion of the universe in that sort of way. I just dig that.
Yeah, yeah, and from what I saw of the trailer so far, I'll have to check it out now that I know it's out, but it looks very much, it has that same tone and that same feel and the same world of Blade Runner. So,
and Blade Runner comes out this Friday?
Yeah, it comes out October 6th.
October 6th.
Oh, okay.
So, 1 week from yesterday.
Nice. Well, we know Nat's happy about it.
Oh, heck yeah. It's been on my calendar for over a month. when I keep telling my wife we're buying tickets, she's like, it's okay. You're fine. Whatever you want to do for it, I'm just here to go with you. Mm-hmm. So, you set up the schedule.
That's awesome.
And we go.
Well, we'll have to make a date to see that because... Yeah, that's definitely
Thing. I want as many people to see it at the same time so I have people to talk to because I have a strange feeling.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be super spoilery.
Right.
Has your wife seen Blade Runner?
She has.
So you're not just going to be there like, oh my god, this part that happened.
No,
like,
cool. She really wants to watch it again going into the movie.
That's okay.
I kind of want to watch the original version again. We're getting way off tangent here, but... I have the...
We never do that.
Yeah, right? I have never the 5-disc version of Blade Runner that has all of the different versions of the film.
Director's cut.
Yeah. Theater cut. I haven't watched the theatrical cut since I was like 16.
Oh, okay. So it's time to watch it again.
Yeah. I've always watched the final cut now. That's so effing good. Harrison Ford actually recently said that the final cut is his favorite version of the movie, so.
Nice.
Which makes sense, because he never liked the voiceover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He didn't like doing it, and you can tell he didn't like doing it in his voice, but...
Yeah, but I mean, to stick... And I feel like it's... I personally like the voiceover, but I feel like with a lot of things that try to be genre-specific, it kind of goes a little overboard, because, you know, even though you haven't seen it and you're a blasphemous person, it is a noir movie, like a hard-boiled detective thing. So, you know,
yeah.
I feel like Ridley Scott was like, well, we have to have a voiceover, because what hard-boiled detective movie doesn't...
He didn't want it either.
Really?
That was a concession to the studio. The studio said this needs voiceover.
Interesting.
So that's why there's so many different versions of the movie out, is because in the U.S., they forced that into the production.
Interesting.
It's an interesting story. Like, in general, aside from the fact that Blade Runner is a fantastic film, go look at the history of Blade Runner and how we got to where we are with that final cut of the movie. It's a strange journey. For a while, both Ridley Scott and Harrison Ford sort of didn't talk about the film. So,
interesting.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
That's cool. So we got an anime prequel.
Yeah.
So we'll stick with movie news, and we'll stick with Warner Brothers, in fact. Jeff Johns, the chief creative officer at DC and Warner Brothers, and Diane Nelson, the DC Entertainment president, have come out and made some statements about the DC Extended Universe, which is their cinematic universe. I'm going to have a few quotes, pieces of what was said. So this is from Jeff Johns. But like with Aquaman, our goal is to not connect Aquaman to every movie. And now I'll move into something that Diane Nelson said. Moving forward, you'll see the DC movie universe being a universe, but one that comes from the heart of the filmmakers who's creating them. And they also confirmed, and this is not a quote, this is just from the article I read, confirmed that a side universe of non-connected films will be part of their slate, and that includes the Joker movie that we've discussed before. So...
So their statements are about as connected as their universe.
Exactly. I don't understand. Why are you building a cinematic universe that doesn't have connectivity?
Yeah.
What's the point?
There's no point at all.
I always kind of thought that and understood with, like, the CW DC universe that they have. Like, I understand it's, you know, too much money to get all the names that they want from the films to be in the shows. But at the same time, it's kind of like I always say about Marvel Universe, like, there's no point to do, like, a Guardians of the Galaxy 3. There's literally, like, 1,000 characters that you can pick and choose from to give solo titles to that people would love and enjoy. And it's the same thing for DC. Like, you don't have to make an Aquaman movie if it's not going to be, like, connected to anything.
Yeah.
You can make... Dumb. You could make a Nightwing movie. I mean, I know they are, but, like, you could make, a Blue Beetle movie. A Black Canary movie. Yeah. Like, anything. If you don't want to make it, don't make it. Don't feel like you have to be pushed into a box where you're making films that you don't want to be making.
So I'm wondering, actually, with the way that you said that, it might be beneficial, this paradigm, to be able to just, because... Hey, I'm this director and I want to make this movie, to just make the movie. But do you tie it design wise?
Then you get Fantastic Four and no one wants that.
Yeah. But then and then conversely, you get the Dark Knight trilogy and everybody is like, why do all your movies suck compared to the Dark Knight?
Yes.
You know, and why can't you get Christopher Nolan to make any more movies? And Christopher Nolan's like, well, I don't want to make any more movies. So, you know.
I didn't want to make the third movie after Fletcher died.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I feel like the Marvel Universe will blow DC out of the water if DC doesn't connect it. I mean, that's for me, because, I mean, we're talking Netflix is on board. You don't play around on Netflix unless you are connected to the Marvel Universe. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't playing around. You don't do something unless it's connected to the Marvel Universe.
They even had a fucking Stan Lee cameo in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Did they really?
I haven't seen it. In, like, the first in the first season, I think it is, he's like on a plane or whatever.
I think you're right. Yeah.
You know, like classic Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah,
just a minute.
They're killing it. I mean, well, Marvel is doing what they're supposed to do.
And apparently the Sith, I've heard rumors that the Sith, who was in a couple episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D., is going to be in the new Ragnarok movie.
She was in the original Thor.
Yeah.
That's why it blew me away when I saw that. Whoa, the movie's here, right now.
Yeah.
And that's like loose connectivity. Like they're not beholden to it, you know, you never hear direct references in the Netflix series, but they refer to the event.
They talk, especially Jessica Jones kind of references that shit.
They do.
She's
they
just
do
like,
lot.
Ugh, fuck all the other superheroes.
Aliens.
Well, I mean, yeah, because...
And the Battle of New York, they call it. So,
which,
you don't... Yeah, you don't have to be like, you remember back in Avengers 1?
Right, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, right.
This feels to me like, it feels really desperate. Like, it feels... It seems like they can just come out and say that they are not satisfied with the world that started as part of Batman v Superman. I'm lumping Man of Steel on its own. I don't think that really should be put with everything.
I never
because
saw
Man,
it.
Man of Steel should be a movie unto itself.
But they already lumped it. They
right,
don't have
they did. They sort of they made that Superman part of a universe too quickly.
Yeah, they rushed it.
Do you think they just, like, maybe made that movie and were like, okay, this is where we're starting our universe at, apparently?
Yep.
Yeah, that was exactly what happened. I think
that's what every fan believes. That's what every fan believes.
I think Scott Snyder had a really great idea for doing Superman as a reflection of society now and did that film. I enjoy that film immensely. I like it as a science fiction alien invasion movie. I like it as a weird exploration into what superheroes in our society are. It was not a universe jumping on point. Like that was not where things should have sprung from. Because it made it seem like there was nothing before, which all of a sudden immediately becomes retconned because Batman's been operating for who knows how long.
Yeah.
I think it might be time for them to just make the statement that Flashpoint is going to reset the universe and just do it.
It's stuck to my stomach.
But if you do it and you do it publicly and you say this is what's going to happen, all of these things going forward will then connect. Keep the best that you can. Acknowledge all this stuff. What they seem like they're doing right now is just beating around the bush.
Yeah.
They're like, well, there's kind of a universe, but like, if the director's like, no, I don't really want to have ties, then we're not going to have them have ties. Oh, and then if you want to do a movie that exists completely outside of it, go for it too.
It doesn't make any sense when Wonder Woman did well. Like, I don't understand, like, well, we're not fixing Wonder Woman, right?
No,
she's perfect. So then why can't the other men pull their shit together in these movies and be just as perfect as Wonder Woman?
I think actually this may be a reflection of how good Wonder Woman was the fact that they said, oh crap, we let the director and writer do what she wanted to do, and she made a fantastic film.
She made one of the best movies in DC.
Yeah, best movie of the year for me.
Of the best movies. Yeah, I would argue it
the
is
best.
The best.
I would
movie.
Agree with you. Yeah.
It's my favorite movie of the year, hands down.
Yeah.
And I feel like that reaction is, okay, so we need to let filmmakers make their movies. They don't have Kevin Feige, is what it comes down to. Without somebody who is that creative force that has a timeline and a story idea for expanding the universe to 15 years, they just don't have that person.
James and Skiles can do it. I mean,
we can do
I
it.
Feel like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can do it.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, man. We can get us there.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to have some mini episodes or from, you know, alternate Earth talking about alternate comics or something like
alternate
that.
Capes and Skiles.
You know what,
alternate
Capes and Skiles. We're also assuming...
Hi, I am Leander. And
I am Patrick.
Exactly. So...
What were you saying?
Oh, we're also, like, we're assuming that Justice League is good.
Yeah,
because if Justice League is terrible, then maybe we're going to be like, this paradigm seems
this
fine. We don't need these things to connect.
But Justice League can only be that bad, only be so bad because of Wonder Woman. Again, she is there. Therefore, it's automatically golden.
Yeah.
So.
Worst comes to worst, they're just going to see, like, a film where it's just Wonder Woman and everybody else has, like, blurs over their faces and stuff.
And I'd be okay with that.
Actually, I would totally be interested in a one-woman show where Wonder Wonder Woman just tells us the story of Justice League, like what happens.
I love it.
And she's on the mascara and she's telling it's all the
Amazons.
Just telling it's the Amazons.
Yeah.
And, like, no, just sitting there like,
yeah, I would just,
and
stuff. Wonder Woman.
That would actually be great. Just
I would totally be okay with that.
Seeing her just like stand there and basically just explain like,
and
not
even
she
could be like an older Wonder Woman.
Oh, that would be really kind of cool.
Yeah.
See, we just wrote Justice
we
League.
Just wrote Justice League.
Next one.
Yeah. It's gonna be literally just like one shot the whole time standing there. Aww. Everyone's sitting around a campfire, you know, eating food, and
do you
it's
think
just her.
Wonder Woman drinks coffee. I just had
like
this thought of like somebody would bring her like coffee
like
and stuff. And
I feel
like
she might drink tea.
I feel like
tea.
Yeah, she's
a tea
woman.
More like a tea gal.
Leave some comments. I'm actually really I'm curious if we, I don't know.
If it even affects her in that way anyways, coffee, I don't even know.
Yeah.
It might be the taste, though, that she just enjoys.
Yeah, really into.
I mean, she enjoyed ice cream a lot, so maybe, like, the opposite side of the spectrum, a little bit bitterness.
Yeah, but I don't know anybody who likes the taste of coffee, not for, like, the caffeine buzz that you initially get.
I've heard some people are into it.
I like coffee.
But I would argue that if there was no caffeine, you wouldn't have acquired the taste for coffee in the first place.
I don't know about that because I came from a family that like served coffee to us way too young, so it was like part of dinner, like after dinner meals. And
so it's more just like indoctrination.
Maybe, but I didn't start drinking black coffee until I was like 27, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a little, maybe like 26, 25. So
was that just because you were out of sugar?
No.
What do I do?
I actually had a roommate that refused to let me put milk and sugar in my coffee because he said, if you do those things, you don't actually like coffee, so suck it up.
And I was like, okay, I can appreciate
the differences. And it was finding the right blend. Wow, way off topic. What other news do we have?
All right, news. How do we go
so,
from...
I guess speaking of black coffee, I have some news about the Black Panther. I know, right?
It's too early for this.
I know, right? This is where like the shepherd's crook comes and just pulls me out of the podcast.
Yep.
So it's not really that much news other than I guess the director showed like a 5-minute unreleased clip of it to the Congressional Black Caucus, actually.
Interesting.
Which is really cool. He was like saying like, He didn't actually ask permission, was more prepared to ask for forgiveness.
Okay.
And I don't know, I guess just like started off the meeting and like just showed this 5-minute call.
That's awesome.
And they all really liked it apparently.
Uh-huh.
You know, who doesn't like a good Marvel movie?
Right.
And then this bit of news came along with the fact that I guess the film will be getting a cross-national release date in select African nations as well.
Really?
Yeah. So I didn't see any specifics on which ones.
Mm-hmm. Still pretty amazing.
Yeah. That so it'll have like simultaneous
awesome.
Premiere dates in other countries
That's
as well.
Really
so,
cool.
Yeah. So I thought that was some interesting news, but.
That's a big kudos to Marvel for having the foresight to even think about that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because maybe Coogler was the one who actually like said something. He's like, "Hey, why don't we try this?" And Marvel was able to do
for
it.
Sure. Yeah,
so,
that's
really cool.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Huh? That is really cool. I still wonder how much Ta-Nehisi Coates is involved in any of this. You know, at all?
Yeah.
Maybe not at all. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. But
maybe he appears like in the last 20 minutes of the film and is like, "Hello, I am Ta-Nehisi Coates."
I have to imagine like it wouldn't be incredibly difficult to get him to do a cameo for the movie.
I can't imagine it'd be that hard. Yeah.
He's in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he does like 1.5 million things.
True.
Like,
he's not doing Black Panther in the crew. That means he can go do it.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. Okay, but he, you know, is also an international correspondent for The Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, is also putting out a book in these next couple weeks.
I mean,
he's,
I
like,
guess.
He has a his own podcast that he does.
All of these things sound like he can do them while he is traveling.
Okay, but if you tweet it, have you ever read any of his Atlantic articles? He does not do shorthand articles. His articles he writes are like 20,000 words at least. Like,
Jesus.
Like, I was just listening to like somebody reading his like one of the most recent ones he did called the. It was like Trump, the first white president, and just the person reading it, it was 60 minutes long.
Wow.
Yeah. So he does not do shorthand articles.
Right. Well, still, he needs to do a cameo. Just saying.
And you know what? I imagine they wouldn't even announce it. Like,
they wouldn't. Thing, like,
as you're watching, you'd be like, oh, wait, that's...
Right.
Yeah.
Just hanging out in the background.
He's just like sitting there in like a Wakandan coffee shop, like writing an article.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah,
like,
would.
Writing in
for like the Wakandan then he can get his or work something.
Done. Right. It's like holographic too, like it's high technology and he's just chilling.
With the
Wakanda Press.
Kimoyo?
Just to let everybody know, we all did the fake keyboard typing thing. But, yeah. So we're not being, you know, filmed right now,
right.
But we all did
what
that.
We choose to do anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be funny just seeing him in there, like, with writing for some, like, Wakandan newspaper.
That'd be awesome.
Central Africa Today.
Yep.
Just as a quick funny side story that I feel like I would never ever talk about this in a million years, but only because Patrick said it. So, and this is a side story that will be explained at some point in the future offline. So I am the first ever fellow for the Congressional Black Caucus. And we're done. What's the next news?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait.
It happened.
Okay.
I have access. I could have went to that if I wanted to the event where they showed the Black Panther thing.
Like, you still have, like, standing?
Mm-hmm. But anyways, let's move on.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, fair enough. What else do you have, Patrick?
I have so many questions. But I guess
we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Off air, apparently. So everybody listening, you know, Leander doesn't care about you. So I just want you to know that.
I just didn't want to derail.
Okay, because that's way derailment right there.
Yeah.
I'm even just mentioning that I'm over here
figuring out life.
What other news do I have? So apparently. God damn. Apparently, Your Name, the international hit anime film, will be made into a major Hollywood film in collaboration between Sony Pictures and J.J. Abrams Studio, Bad Robot.
What?
And it will be written by the person who, Eric... I forget his last name right now, but it will be written by the guy who wrote Arrival.
Really?
Yeah.
Because we talked about Your Name recently on a podcast, but we didn't have this information.
Yeah, Kat and I definitely brought it up before because it's an amazing film.
So it's being produced here then, in the
U.S.?
Yeah,
it's going to be produced in the U.S. by Sony Pictures in collaboration with Bad Robot.
Wild.
I know.
That's a really, like, that's a little crazy collaboration, I think.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of people, like, the guy who made it initially, the director is, like, his statement about it was, like, sometimes anime films, when they get live-action productions by U.S. studios, can be a little,
He's being nice.
You know, but... Also in his same statement, he's like, but if anybody can do this film justice, it's the Arrival writer plus J.J. Abrams Studio.
Wow.
As,
awesome.
Like, the, like, down-to-earth science fiction film that it is, basically, so.
I haven't seen Your Name yet. Is there a lot of, Japanese cultural references in it?
So, there It basically what happens is it's like two teenagers who one lives in Tokyo, the other lives in this small town in the country, and they both basically like envy the lifestyle that they see. Mm-hmm. Like the guy who lives in Tokyo. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I wish I could just, you know, slow down and be in a place where everybody knows your name. And the girl's like, I wish I could be living the fast lifestyle of the city. And then they wake up in each other's bodies. Gotcha. And eventually, like, and live their lives on some days, like, as the other person. And the girl who lives in the country, like, her family is a, like, generations of, like, priests and priestesses for this shrine to an unspecified Shinto god. So that's really the only thing, but like it's not like it won't throw you out because it just shows her like going through her normal day and like having to go to the temple and perform the ceremony of like chewing rice and spitting it out to make sake like they did like thousands of years ago.
I'm wondering then if you like
But there is, sorry to interrupt, but like there is, it is, one of the things that makes it such a success is it's very specific to places. Like there's a famous scene at the end of the movie where they walk past each other on this stairwell, and that is an actual shot taken from Tokyo. Okay. Like, and like the temple that she is at in the country is an actual place. Mm-hmm. Tourism to both of those places increased by some, you know, fold that I forget
because of the movie
after it came out. So
saying that actually sort of negated my thought. I had a thought that maybe you have it from people in two different countries, so you're able to do like New York as the metropolis and then the more rural areas of Japan, and then like how that you cross that.
I mean, you totally could. Like, yeah, there's no reason. And like, I know Leander's gonna like jump across the table when I say this, but there is also like a time element involved in it, even though it's played out extremely beautifully.
I'm sure
time travel can be done well.
And it is. And you don't know that it's happening. So, slight spoiler here. You learn halfway through the movie that there is also a time element involved in their relationship.
All right. I don't know what that means, but okay.
Yes.
Perfect. It was not. You're good. You're good.
I covered my ears. Yes. I don't like
it. Yeah.
All right. That's really good news. Now we have some more information on the movie, and hopefully it will come out. We don't know when it's coming out.
Yeah, there's not a release date currently. It's just they announced the... You know, very basics. I don't even think they have a set director yet for it.
Yeah, because Abrams is going to be working on Star Wars here pretty soon. So.
Yeah, even though he should totally drop Star Wars and direct Your Name, because J.J. Abrams, you know you would love it, and I know you're listening to this podcast right now.
If it's his production studio, J.J. Abrams might be like, going to do Star Wars, and then I'm going to do Your Name, so just take some time, we'll develop.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. So, what if he just like, tells Disney, he's like, So put this whole Star Wars thing on.
There's this really great
on
thing.
Hiatus for just a minute. Yeah, you know, we can have 2 years in between a Star Wars film. Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is where true conversation here. If say he wanted to do that, like this is a passion project for him, huge fan of the anime, and he tells Disney that he would have to delay Star Wars. Rian Johnson would come back in. Because the rumor now, the reason that Rian Johnson said no to doing episode 9 is that the development time was too small for him to have developed a complete script that he would want to shoot. So he didn't want that. He didn't want to rush into developing a script and then go straight into shooting. He would need a longer time frame.
Interesting.
Okay. So if they were pushing it back, there's a good chance they would just go straight back to Rian Johnson to finish it. So he would lose that spot. And apparently J.J. Abrams was very... He's been vocal about, after reading Rian Johnson's script for The Last Jedi, he wanted to direct it, but he didn't have a schedule to do it.
Interesting.
So there's a good...
All right.
J.J. Abrams is a guy, I really like him as a director and a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's safe, maybe he's just needs some opportunities to do something a little different. But
yeah.
That's as exciting, though.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So that should be really interesting. I'm definitely really interested to see a good Western adaptation of Japanese media.
Right.
So, at least we're crossing our fingers for that.
Yeah, yeah. Cough, Death sure. Note sucks. Fuck mm-hmm. you, Cough.
still need to see the terribleness that is Ghost in the Shell so I can make my own opinion.
Mm, I haven't seen that.
I thought that Ghost in the Shell was actually a decent movie.
Okay.
I tried watching the anime, and I felt like one thing that Ghost in the Shell gives the audience that the anime does not is a jumping into point at the beginning.
Mm. Were you watching Sack or were you watching the movie?
Sack.
Okay.
So I have not seen the movie yet, even though I do believe they're coming out with, they just came out with one, another one this past year, I believe.
Ghost in the Shell film?
Yeah.
Yeah, with... What do you mean, live action?
No, not live action, anime film.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either. That one, that escaped me if it did. Mm-hmm. Unless it was a re-release, because they keep re-releasing different editions of mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
The Blade Runner of anime.
I have no idea, because I never really got into it too much, but I saw the movie going in there cold, and I thought it was a very interesting film. Okay. It has, like, the world has Blade Runner-esque qualities to it mm-hmm. that they build up, and, you know, like, similar themes as well. What is it to be human?
Yeah.
You know, okay. What is the meaning of yeah. life? You know, simple things like that.
Yeah, easy things. Sweet. All right, any other news?
I actually have another bit. We're big on anime today without Kat here.
This goes out to you, Kat.
If, right? You'd be so proud. So, Warner Brothers with Takashi Okazaki, the creator of Afro Samurai, are actually developing an anime film called Batman Ninja.
I just saw that last night, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't really think anything of it, because it was like, the news I saw was Afro Samurai creator with Batman anime, ?
So, yeah, so it's announced, but there's going to be something. I don't think they have a specific panel, but they'll be part of a panel at New York Comic Con this coming weekend. I think October 5th is when they're supposed to have some more information about this anime, which sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
there's an anime short film that's the Batman of China that's floating around online. It's been out for a few years, and it is awesome.
It
really interprets things really like interestingly. Bane as a mercenary with like hiding himself. A lot of, like, anime tropes when you see it, which is really... It's just a really cool
idea.
I mean, I feel like that's where the DC Universe just continue to pump their money into is animated films.
They do animation
fantastically.
Yeah. Well, it's like... we were talking about this when we watched Teen
Lazarus
Titans.
Pit
yeah,
or something.
The Lazarus Contract.
Yeah.
Like, why don't they just have the same writers and directors for animated films write and direct their live-action films?
Because it would be amazing.
Like, it would be amazing. You can just make that, and that'll be fine.
Yeah. There's a difficulty with getting people from animation, giving them the shot to go into live-action, because the same discussion has been had with Dave Filoni, who is the creator of Star Wars Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why is he not directing a Star Wars movie?
Mm-hmm.
This guy clearly gets the universe, and he understands.
Clone Wars is what... I'm not a big Star Wars person, but Clone Wars in that, General Grievous's portrayal in Star Wars Clone Wars is so unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Nat, but I tried getting into like the Star Wars proper after I watched that series. And kind of dropped me, but...
The trades or, like, the...
Just
the
generally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, just... Yeah, sorry. I know.
Yeah,
I grew up with that. I love Star Wars. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Star Wars, Batman, Marvel, Image, whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Blade Runner. Sorry.
All right, any more news, or are we going into comic reviews? Where are we at?
I got nothing else.
You got nothing else? Yeah, I got nothing else.
Ooh, looks like it's time for comic reviews. I think just one each, right? Or I'm going to do three.
Yeah, you can do a couple.
Yeah, I'm going to do a three quickie.
Yeah, we got plenty of time, so people buckle up.
All right, I'm going to do two. No. Let's quickly say Kyle Stark's Dead of Winter number 2 came out. So I wanted to read it, see if it gets better, same, what's going on. I think that... this book is for people who play the game. I think that you're not going to have you're not going to have any character development because certain characters you should just already know because you play the game. It does a little bit extend some of the characteristics, like they get out of a situation because of the lawyer. Which is really interesting because a lawyer in the game is useless. But in this particular part, she actually did something cool. People die. I'm not going to tell you which ones. And I really think that one of the core things that Kyle Starks is doing is introducing and exploring Sparky. He's the only one that he's given really good character depth to is the dog. And because that's the best character in the game. And so I really like the way that he is portraying Sparky and his background and some of the things that you do when you're playing the game as Sparky, where he's driving cars and stuff. And this book is really clear about, like, not explaining it, but it definitely pays homage to, like, the fact that you get upset that, like, why is Sparky on a scooter? It doesn't make any sense. But Dead of Winter tries to explain some of that. So anyways, if you like Dead of Winter, if you like zombie stuff generally, you'll like Dead of Winter, the comic book by Kyle Starks. But if you play the game, you'll love this even more.
Nice.
Done.
Nice. Cool. With both of your permission, I kind of want to do something different today. I want to review Star Trek Discovery, actually, episode one that just came out this past Sunday. Oh, yeah.
Sure, go for it.
And I'm a huge Star Trek fan.
Yeah, it's like, no. All your plans are done. We're just going straight to my comics now.
No. Okay, you said that. Yeah, exactly. We're going to move to me. So Star Trek Discovery just aired this past weekend on CBS. And with two-part series premiere, amazing. If you haven't seen Star Trek, it's a great jumping onto point for anybody. Mm. One of the main things that they do that none of the other series have just simply is the production value. The scenes in it with the spaceships, like there's a whole, to get into slight spoilers here, is a whole scene where it's the space battle between the Federation and the Klingons.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just watching the ships come and jump out of warp, mm-hmm, as backup, mm-hmm, was killer.
Mm.
There's a whole sequence in the battle where it's, like, the Klingons, like, we will show them that we have invisible ships. And one of the Federation ships just starts breaking apart, like, just getting... And, like, the ship uncloaks as it's plowing through the, like, Federation ship.
Wow.
And then they're like, Captain, we've detected a voluntary breach of the warp core on that ship. And then it just, like, self-destructs as, like,
Stop
all the pods
it.
Are... It's so epic. It's unbelievable.
Okay. All right. Now
and
I'm
then,
excited.
Like, there's a whole, like, it ends with one of the characters being put on trial for treason, for letting
Whoa.
Her captain die. And and then it's like the rest of the season, and she's like in prison jumpsuit, basically like being shipped off to all this. So it's like I'm really excited to see where this season is going. It is unbelievable. The first two episodes, I was sitting there just goosebumps.
That's awesome.
And I don't get that just watching Star Trek. It's mostly one of those shows that you're like, huh, that's interesting. That's a really interesting concept. But this, I'm like.
So this is there's a weird place with geek culture where we're like so in the zeitgeist of everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna bring up J.J. Abrams again.
Okay.
So I have heard a lot that this feels like a reflection of seeing J.J. Abrams' Star Trek films.
Yes.
Turned into a series.
Yes.
But the problem with the series is that it's supposed to take place in the Prime Universe, which is like the original universe, not the splinter that's created because of the J.J. Abrams films. So
I
there's
see.
Like some time inconsistencies.
Of course
well,
there
it's
is.
Supposed to take it's supposed to take place prior to the original series.
Right, but it's set in the original series universe, right?
Yeah.
It's not the original series that like the original cast that was then in the J.J.
No,
Abrams
stuff. Yeah, no, it's not the original cast, obviously.
Right,
and like so far they haven't even referenced anything in the other series yet at all.
Because isn't, like, Spock's sister or something in this, or...?
I don't think it's Spock's sister. If they have, they kind of... So the main character, she's the commander of a ship, and she is human but was raised on Vulcan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's, like, this
whole
thing going on.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea, so... she has all the tendencies of a Vulcan, because basically, you know, she was orphaned, and, you know, they took her in, and also, like, oh man, she, like, Vulcan neck pinches somebody at some point, too, and just, I don't want to spoil who it is, because it's actually, like, a big part of the episode.
Sure.
And it's, like, epic. So I can't remember, actually, off the top of my head, if they... reference Spock in her backstory. Now that I'm thinking about it, because it's only a very brief flash that we get back to Vulcan, but we do have, like, the, if you remember from the Abrams films, like the learning, like, bubbles that they're in on Vulcan. So it has actually elements from the Abrams universe along with elements from the original universe, and I believe, and it combines them very seamlessly.
Okay.
I think. Like in one of the first scenes, the captain pulls out her communicator thing, and it just looks like an older version.
Oh, that's
cool. Like, the original one. So, like, I think it very seamlessly combines both of those.
Personally, I have no qualms with any of this. It sounds really cool, and I would just want to watch it for watching it as something on
its
own. So,
nice.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So, review's good?
Good. Amazing. Great. If you haven't watched, like I said, if you haven't watched Star Trek yet, great place to jump into. There's stuff, and if you have watched Star Trek before, great place to jump into. There's stuff, there's like little subtle things for fans that they throw in there, and then just in general, it's an amazing sci-fi, like, story, like, you know, two empires meeting each other in space. And, like, they meet in a solar system that's a binary star system, and so they have, like, shots of, like, the two suns, like, kind of, like, circling around each other.
It's
beautiful.
Yeah.
Just absolutely
awesome.
Beautiful. And
do you know if it's available, since it's the premiere, is it available just on CBS proper to be able to watch?
I am not sure about that. I just watched it at a friend's house, actually.
Okay.
And... So I know they have the first episode for free.
Okay.
Just in general on their website, but the second episode is not.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
So, you know, that's where they get you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you gotta find a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have friends, apparently.
All right. Well, I think it's worth it to go see it then.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
100% for sure. All
right. I see a legacy over there.
Yeah, so I'll do some.
Ooh,
I don't know if that'll pick up.
Yeah,
probably
lenticular cover. I've got Marvel Legacy number one.
Yeah,
written by Jason Aaron, with art by I'm not gonna say because there's 10 people on this book.
Oh, fair.
So So this is the Legacy one-shot that launches us into what Marvel is going forward, sort of the, we're fixing the universe and we're getting back to the classic characters. I've really enjoyed this book. It's dense. It is a super dense comic. There are a lot of references to the Fantastic Four.
Stop it! I love Fantastic Four!
So there's this book. So a lot of... The reason there's so many different creators is there's a lot of one-page pieces or one- or two-page pieces that are the new creative teams.
Mm.
So this is the creative team that you're looking at, which is Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm, is the Chip Zdarsky and Cliff Chang, or not Cliff Chang, excuse me, Jim Chung, Fantastic Four series. I forgot what it's called. It's Marvel Team-Up, I believe, is what it's called.
Okay.
But that's... Yeah, they're going to be searching for the Reeds, the Richards family.
Oh,
and then next to that, we have the throne world of Wakanda, the Galactic Empire of Wakanda.
Stop your mouth.
So, yeah.
Stop your mouth immediately.
The Intergalactic Empire
of
Wakanda. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's
we can't.
Distress
I can't.
Calls bringing saying that Sakaar, the planet from Planet Hulk, needs the Hulk back, so there's a distress call coming.
But he's dead.
He is dead, but you know who's not dead? Amadeus Cho.
Hulkling. Or not Hulkling, but yeah. Hulkling. Yeah, the other Hulk.
There seems to be maybe an Eternal stuck in the ground on Earth somewhere from way, way back with the original Avengers. All that promo art that we showed for the beginning of this event with Odin and the defiant Mjolnir, which is hilarious, is Mjolnir really doesn't seem to like Odin at all.
That's
so it
awesome.
does things that he doesn't want it to do, and Phoenix keeps making fun of him for it. So there's some really cool stuff in this.
This is a mix of, back to what you said, was that original, like, million, trillion years ago, and current heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's 1 million years ago. In the Stone Age. And you even get to see this awesome panel of a Neanderthal trying to pick up Mjolnir, which is
that's
great.
Awesome.
It's still basically the Thor creative team, and then others popping in and out of the story. And I'm going to go into spoiler territory already. You know, that's, Legacy is a giant spoiler in and of itself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. I haven't actually read it yet, to be honest, but I'm just flipping through it here right now.
Seeing some fun stuff.
So I'm just seeing some great stuff. You got full page spreads of Logan.
That's Wolverine, not Old Man Logan, from the dead. And he has an Infinity Stone.
Oh, is that what he's holding?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, A, why the hell is Logan back? And B, why does a mutant that's been dead for a number of years have an Infinity Stone? That is not somebody who should be in possession of something that powerful.
Right.
Somebody like Wolverine.
Although.
Who might just get drunk and
just
use
to
it
go with the storyline.
To make the planet full of beer.
At some point in time, so Professor X had one of the Infinity Stones. So the mutants did have possession of an Infinity Stone.
Well, and the Guardians are hunting the stones.
Stop it.
So. But more than that, I know that's really
know.
Which there's a little upsetting. Relationship
but
happening.
That can't happen though, right?
Why?
Because that one person's already in a relationship.
Who? Sam?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's with cut off arm girl. Woman.
With Misty?
Yeah, they're together.
Oh, crap.
Shit's about to go down. Don't mess with Misty Knight.
Oh, shit. But that's horror, yo.
So there is a panel here that we're all going nuts over right now that shows Riri Williams kind of sulking in front. It looks like they're doing a new Avengers type thing with Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, or Ironheart, I guess. But in the background, you see Thor and Sam Wilson, Captain America, totally macking on each other.
Well, and that's probably Sam Wilson's last time in that suit. He's becoming the Falcon.
Yeah.
Well,
officially.
Mainly because Misty Knight's about to shoot him in the face.
Right.
Even if you are Thor, like one of the most powerful people in the Marvel Universe, you don't want to mess with that woman. She will bring the wrath of 1,000 universes down on your head.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Maybe I have the relationship wrong, and maybe he's not with Misty, but I thought he was with Misty.
I've seen them like on and off, but I don't know if they're back on yet. We'll apparently see. They're not on in his head.
What are you one of the things I was most excited about was seeing this slice of Americana, the new creative team on Captain America with Mark Waid and Chris Somney, and just seeing Somney's art on this one page. This is such a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
And seeing Steve Rogers having to deal with what happened with Secret Empire and the other Steve. And trying to rebuild who he is already interesting. But really, it's the end. It's the last two pages that we're going to talk about the most. That beautiful, lovely child hand reaching out into the void.
Yeah, which has to be... Yeah, it had to have been. There's no one else. I knew who... I knew as soon as I saw the glove, I knew exactly who it was.
The Richards children are back. And they even make reference to Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
So we may be really looking at the return of the Fantastic Four in a big, bad way. I'm excited about this.
It'll at least be different because I was reading the most recent episode of Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur episode issue. Super sad. She sends Devil Dinosaur back in time, and she's looking for a new partner in these upcoming events.
Oh, no!
I know. It was, like, one of the saddest issues I've ever read. But, so, they've alluded to, and they also said, and get ready for 2 issues from now with the Fantastic Three.
Yes, because Johnny and the Thing are actually going to be with her.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. Moon Girl will be the new, like, lead on it. God. But if they come up with the whole thing, like, that's a, like, Fantastic Avengers kind of thing with, like, the children and the parents.
You could just do the Moon Girl book is Moon Girl, Valeria, and Franklin.
Stop.
And it's just the three kids going on adventures together. Oh, How great would that... I just got goosebumps with that idea.
That would be so... That would be just so amazing. Yeah. And you could have, like, the two teams of, or I guess 4 and 3.
Those kids are so badass by themselves.
Yeah, they would be so cool.
And they're the right ages. They're all the right ages.
You know, like, Franklin is one of the most powerful beings in the universe. Mm-hmm. So is Valeria, right?
She's smart.
And then Moon Girl is the smartest.
That would be crazy seeing
They would actually Valeria have to have a... Because we actually, like, don't know how smart Valeria is.
But that would be awesome to see him, like, going head-to-head and stuff. And, like, no, we should do it this way. No, we should do it this way. You know,
the potential is high. Yeah. The potential is high on that one.
So this is how you create a rocket ship from parts out of a garbage can.
Oh my god, they could do such cool little kid stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, sorry.
I mean, Moon Girl already made a mech out of Legos.
I'm on board for this. Stop it right now.
Technically she made 2 mechs out of Legos, but
so Marvel Legacy number 1, pick it up if you can find it. It's definitely I'm excited when you get Marvel to being the adventuring series and about having fun and things being crazy and cosmic. Marvel's at its best in my mind. So, yeah, nice. Loved it. Love it.
All right. Nice. I'll do a quick final review, then we should wrap things up because, you know, I got to move to Denver. so I'm going to do a quick review of 2 things. World of Animosity. World of Animosity. Do not pick it up unless you are reading Animosity. Although I will say, here's what happened. I got it in my bin because I thought, oh, this is something new. I'll read it. And then I got it in my bin and it's just a bunch of backstory of the whole world. And I mean the whole freaking world. Every single state in the U.S. has its own backstory and it tells you about it. And it introduces characters, gives you bios, whatevs. I don't care because I don't read it. So this is very, and actually I'm sorry, we go to other countries and other countries have their own backstories with every single continent and country. Anyways, it's too much. And because I'm not reading the book.
There's at least a couple dozen countries and their backstories. And yeah, in every single state.
And which is cool if I was reading the book.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll read this again in the future. Because what happens, I saw it and I threw it in the trash almost. Because I'm like, I'm not going to read this. This is silly. But I will say there was a preview for Dark Arc number 1. Based on the 4 or 5 pages that I have read intimately with the art as well, I loved it. I thought it was a really cool concept. Basically, there, we all know about Noah's Ark. We know the story, right?
Yeah.
There is another mother effing Ark out there. And this Ark has harpies and other things on it that they're trying to save. Whereas normally they wouldn't try to save those things, but apparently these are end days. Someone made an Ark, and in this Ark has a bunch of monstrosities. So, and they referenced Noah's Ark because they want to just, like, go over there and eat all the animals because that would help them survive. So obviously only one Ark survived as far as the history that we know about.
Right.
So what's going to happen in this book? I don't know. But Patrick feels...
I did not like it. I did not buy Dark Ark number 1, but I basically read most of it. I kind of flipped through some of the parts because it's super slow. I'm interested to see where it goes. I'll say that. But as a standalone issue, it's not interesting. Like, it's interesting for a little bit, just the whole concept of it. But after that, it's like, okay, we get it. You're on a dark arc. Like, where is this story going? And it doesn't have a place that it's going yet.
Okay.
So, like, it ends, and they're still just on the arc. They're still just talking about going over to Noah's Ark and eating it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, like...
I guess that makes sense.
His family's
there.
Like, what you read, the 4 pages that you read as a preview, is basically the whole first issue. So, like, it is an interesting concept, but like I said, as an issue, kind of meh.
Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on what you want out of that issue.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's probably what it comes down to, you know.
That is true.
Because maybe I want, because I know it's still raining, so therefore it's not over.
Yeah.
So they can only go but so far because the rain hasn't even stopped yet.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. And like.
Well, and Patrick is notoriously harsh on number ones of a new series.
That is also true. I've definitely come back. I've definitely come back later. I'll probably be back in like a month or two and be like, guys, Dark Arc, best series I've ever read in my entire life. Oh my god, let me tell you about the thematic arcs in the arc and the character arcs of the arc.
Yeah.
And like.
So I say, I'm gonna go pick up Dark Arc number one. Patrick will continue skipping. It. And then between the two of us, we'll give you a good review and a couple of issues.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to talk about Rat Queens special, Orc Dave number one. Oh my god, it's good. Rat Queens, when they do special issues, they nail it. When they did the Braga special issue, nailed it. Orc Dave, oh, it's just orgasmically good. It's just so much fun to read.
I mean, just looking at the cover, is like a reading orgasm or like a...
At moments is both. And so I feel like what you learn about Orc, so first of all, Dave's generally, they shouldn't even have their own book because the four Daves in the very beginning of the book were just like the most like horrific group. They were just a bunch of fucktards, as Hannah would say it. And they were useless. They basically got beat up all the time. At some point, the Daves became important. Three of them died, and so the only one left is Orc Dave. And Orc Dave is amazing. He's in a relationship with Violet currently, kinda. And what happens in this particular issue is you learn so much about Orc Dave. It's a really great backstory. The Rat Queens do show up for like a hot minute, but it's not even important. And then you just find out so many things about him that you wouldn't know otherwise. And two of the biggest things that you're going to find out is, one, he has a child. No one saw that coming. Two, he also has a companion, like animal, that you never see ever in the city. And he's not supposed to even go to the city, period. He's not even allowed to go to the city. So what is going on? How did he get there? Where is his baby right now? Did something bad happen? Is that why he's in the city? Where is his companion? We don't see his companion anymore. There's just so many things happening, so many questions. He has a baby. And I can't even tell you about the mother or not mother because you have to read it for yourself. Done. Go pick it up and read it forever because it's good. Rat Queens has always nailed their specials. I would say also go pick up Braga's special as well if you haven't read it. I'm going to end there. I think I'm happy ending there. I think that's a really good place to end my life. So
that's awesome. I mean, hopefully not your life.
Not my
life.
You know. Yeah.
Just yes,
the day. Yeah,
the day so far. You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9:40 in the morning.
9:40 in the morning.
Done with it.
Yeah. Art is amazing. Everything's amazing. So anyways, go pick it up. So I guess we will call it here. So say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.